Hello again, Gooners. It's the See You Next Tuesday Club. What was it known as before? I don't even know. But yeah, the See You Next Tuesday, because yeah, we'll try and make it a regular Tuesday thing, because I know we've got more than half a dozen listeners on certain occasions. So that's a step in the right direction. So yeah, want to say welcome to Alex. Thanks for joining me again on this podcast of ours. So it's the post-Wolves Morton from an Arsenal perspective, just for anybody that's tuning in. Can you tune in on the internet? I'm not too sure. But anyway, logging in, I mean.
Yeah, so, I don't think we could get any Wolves fans listening,
though. No, I'm not expecting that. And, you know, maybe that's just as well because it'd be gloating. So what were your feelings after this? Is it post-traumatic stress disorder going on?
Yeah, I'm starting to get PTSD. I think I said last week the honeymoon's over. It's well and truly over now, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems that way.
Arteta's got some serious problems that he needs to deal with, and I think you know it's gonna be a long slog. It's not gonna be pretty. I think if we try to take up, we can analyse the game. I think first we can sort of take a step back afterwards. The game itself was pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Our lack of attacking ability is really something that we are struggling with. Like some of the statistics, just these are some of the things that I had. I've done a bit of research for you. We had 13 shots in the game. Now that was two on target.
Yes. And
the 13 shots was tied for the most that Arsenal had in a league match this season. We had 8 shots from open play. And again, that's the most that Arsenal have had this season. And 41 touches in the penalty area. Again, the most that Arsenal have had in a league match this season. Along with finals.
Just lost you there, Alex. You were saying, you were relating some statistics. So I'll just talk while I read. This is a poor connection. But you're back again, Alex. So we lost you for a little while there.
Yeah, okay.
So you were talking about the stats in the penalty
most
box.
Crosses,
yeah.
Most amount of forward passes, most amount of touches in the final third, most amount of touches in the penalty area. And yet, you think, well, okay, you look at those statistics, that's a positive sort of thing. But in reality, these numbers are still some of the worst in the Premier League. If we compare ourselves to any other team in the Premier League, it's awful. It's absolutely shocking. We are not getting anywhere near enough shots, our attacking play is just nowhere near good enough. In terms of shot creating chances, the only three teams that are worse than us are Newcastle, West Brom, and Burnley. We deserve to be where we are in the league. And if this was our best game against Wolves, then that says a lot, really. There's certain things that we can sort of highlight. But if you look at sort of some of the passes that were made, the most regular passes, it was almost like that dreaded U shape. Where if you imagine, not many sort of incisive passes were made in the 18-yard box. Aubameyang received such little service. The front four of Saka, Willock, and Aubameyang played such few passes together. All we did was keep the ball between Tierney, Zaka, Ceballos and Bellerin. And just went back and forth, back and forth. Gabriel and Lewis occasionally getting involved. Willing to pick up the ball sometimes, but again, we're not talking much. We're not talking much. And certainly Aubameyang was an isolated thing. Aubameyang received less than 5 passes from Saka and Willock. So there's certain things wrong with how we're playing. I think the lack of a number 10 or the lack of a proper number 10 is certainly a feature. We just play around that 18-yard box. And I think what frustrated me the most on Sunday's game was it's like we turned into David Moyes' United. We had 36 crosses and there were but 3 of them hit their man. So I'm not sure what Arteta told them, but whatever it is, it's not working. And I think, something has to change. I'll tell you what, I'm not looking forward to playing Spurs this weekend. We're playing in-form Spurs team. I know form doesn't always matter in a derby, but them not always play better than they normally are. They're going to absolutely smash us this weekend. I'm not confident at all.
I'm more confident than you, I have to say.
Lots of underperforming players.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But they may step it up because it sounded like Arteta was in the dressing room for a long time after the match. I don't know what he was saying. There's lots of speculation about things he said, but no one really knows. But he was definitely in the dressing room longer than usual because he was late for the press conference. That's what's come through on most reports. So whether he's given them a dressing down, I don't know. But whether that's going to work is another story. He's playing it down, you're saying?
I'm saying his big players are letting
him down. Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah. Aubameyang is letting him down. Yeah, because I'm trying to find some crumbs of hope here. Well, we managed to get an assist for once, so that was good. It was a decent cross. It was a decent cross. So he's going to walk away, Willian. I'm thinking he's going to think, no matter what anyone says, he'd say, look, I set up a goal, so get off my case. I mean, I'm sure he'll listen to... Did you see, there's an article, I think it came out today, where Willian was comparing Frank Lampard to Arteta, and he said, he said they're like chalk and cheese. He didn't use those words, because, I mean, would it translate from Brazilian? I doubt it. But anyway, he didn't use those exact words, but he was saying that Arteta's totally obsessed with tactics. He said, and Frank, less so. Whether that was a compliment to Arteta, I wasn't sure. I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think he didn't? I mean, I don't want to word it completely wrong. Yeah. I wish I had it. I couldn't tell. It sounded like he was impressed with Arteta, because otherwise, why would he have left Chelsea if he wasn't impressed? But he said that Arteta knows tactics inside out. Yeah, well, maybe it was just down to that.
This sort of takes me to my next sort of point. Yeah. You know, the management of this club over the last few years has, there are certain questions. Some of the, even post Wenger.
Yeah.
Some of the decisions in the last couple of years have to be questioned. Like, you know, Willian certainly isn't looking like a good deal.
Not so far.
Give him a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
£250,000 a week, or whatever he's on, £150,000 a week, whatever it is.
120 plus.
Yeah, that just looks like a terrible, terrible deal. Yeah, it's looking more and more like Chelsea couldn't believe their luck that we got. He was signed for a free. Chelsea were happy to get rid of him. They knew something we didn't.
But they did offer him a deal, though. They offered him a deal. They offered him a deal, so it must have seen something in him, but it just wasn't long enough for him in comparison to what he could get at Arsenal. So I can't see, I don't think they thought he was a write-off. I don't think so. But then, you know, and I haven't written him off just yet, but I'm disappointed, and I was pleased that he signed. And, you know, at the moment,
He's got to turn it around, mate. Yeah. He's got to turn it around because he has done nothing for this club since he joined.
Apart from Fulham and one assist. He's got that one assist, you know, against Wolves, so he's got that.
When he started over Nelson, he's starting over Pepe. I know Pepe, you know, he got sent off and he had his one chance, whatever. But when he started, he almost looks undroppable. You know, you have to say, what is he? Yeah, it's almost like we're refusing to drop him because we don't want to lose face. Not just him, is it? It's not just him. You know, the whole Ozil and Socrates situation. You know, we've got two players that, you know, we couldn't get rid of. And, you know, maybe we could have got a loan of them. But I wouldn't be surprised if part of the situation that the club is probably down to Ozil. I know that's maybe an easy sort of jump, but players always stick with other players, don't they? So, these players are not playing. You know, you've got Ceballos. What's Ceballos done this season?
Not much.
You know, you've got the whole squad, you know, nothing, you know. All these loan players that we've got, you know, why do we have 8 centre-halves? You know, why did we give Luis a new deal? You know, like, you know, the lack of creativity, these are all things that sort of that are identified as obvious problems, and yet the club isn't doing anything about them or doesn't seem to be acting in the right way. And it's you know, I'm not sure how the January transfer window is going to go. But, you know,
Not well, though, can you?
Arteta took over a fucking mess of a club.
Oh, yeah.
Arteta took over an absolute shit show of a club.
And to get an FA Cup win with that team.
He hasn't learned from the club's mistakes. You know, why Arteta got promoted to club manager
so quickly,
you know, in the summer. So quickly, you know, it's that sort of stinks a little bit. It just stinks to jump in the gun. And, you know, I think, since Aubameyang signed that new contract, he's been shit.
Not great.
They had at the club. Mm. Yeah, it's still there. And I think Arteta's mistakes are sort of being sort of clearly sort of identified at the minute. He has put his faith in certain players, and I think it's just they've been found out now.
But a lot of people saying that nobody. Yeah, they're saying nobody could fix overnight the problems that were left to him, not just by Emery, but I think by Wenger.
I agree with that to a certain extent. But, you know, what he did in the summer,
yeah,
he didn't shift a lot of the fucking deadwood that we have in that team.
Yeah, but it's hard to shift them.
That's what we need to do.
The problem is no one wants them, though. No one wants them, that's the thing. So how would you get rid of
the contracts, take a hit.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Staffy has played 3-4 games and he's been dogging all them. Ozil's sitting on his arse. So they must have known in the summer that Ozil wouldn't be in the squad of 25.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
They must have done the maths.
But is it... So, the thing is, we still don't know... The thing is, I said I won't argue with you on cancelling Ozil's contract. But then part of me says yes, I would, because if I was holding the purse strings and you said to me, right, just pay this guy off, make him disappear, or just pay him a little bit. I mean, it's a lot actually, £350,000 a week, but you're going to pay that instead of millions. You know, is it? Do you want to take a one hit? Yeah, I know, but I know what you're saying. There is a certain amount of sense in what you're saying, but they did try to do a deal. I can't remember how much they owed him altogether, but they tried to say, because normally when they buy out a contract, my understanding is they don't give you like 100%. Say they owe you over a year 15 million. They say, right, come on, Ozil, I'll just give you 10, and then you can go now, and then you can make more money, and actually you'll end up richer. And Ozil's reaction, from what I can gather from all the media sources, was, no, I don't want to do a deal, I'm just staying. And that was it. They did try to do a deal. I'm not saying Arteta did, but somebody at the club, I don't know who that person was, but somebody at the club, that was...
The whole situation stinks. Like, they released the fact. They leaked the fact that he didn't want to take a pay cut.
That's almost certain.
How they handled it hasn't sort of been great.
No.
But then, you think, well, okay, maybe we might learn from our mistakes, and then we sign William. For a 3-year deal, 1-year deal, 2-year deal, maybe 3 years. Like, he's going to be 35. Like, it's just, you know, these are decisions. I know we can say in hindsight they're not great decisions, but we all had our sort of doubts. Alarm bells rang when we signed with him.
A lot of people's.
You want to be positive. Mm.
Didn't have so many alarm bells as other people.
These sorts of things are coming home to roost at the minute.
I can't deny it, because obviously, as I think you know, I was fully in support of the club, because I thought, take one of the better players at Chelsea at the moment. Obviously, he's going to be on the way down because of his age, but if it takes offering him a 3-year deal to get him in on a free transfer, because no transfer fee was paid. I know that when you work out all the salaries and so on, it ends up just as much as a transfer fee, but £120,000 a week, given that Ozil's sitting on his backside playing Fortnite for £350,000 a week, in that context, I thought it's not actually that much, given when you look at how much the players are getting paid.
That's 2 or 3 players, Joe, that we could be getting for us. That's 2 or 3 players. My God, do we need players. I don't want to sort of look forward to next summer in the hope that we shift a load of deadwood, because I don't trust the management to make good decisions. You know, in the transfer window, like, we have signed some players, but of course I'm very happy with Gabriel.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy with Payet. It's unfortunate that he's injured. injured.
Yeah, and that's
unfortunate. Out there, he has got COVID. God. But there are some players that we need to shift. You know, Saka put in an absolute shocker of a performance.
Yeah,
when
people
you've got Saka siding with his with an opposition player over his teammate, that's not elite, is it? That, what does that tell you about this team?
Yeah.
This team is foot amateur. Yeah, and Arteta has got to cut. He's got to cut these players. He's got to sort of get over this. Can't make everyone better.
Yeah,
he's
well,
got to be ruthless.
As you know,
you know, the players like,
yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, some dog shit that we, you know, we've had. I've moaned about Mustafi for years. I've moaned about Zaki, and don't you? I've said this a thousand times. Arteta made those two players especially better last year.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's now seen. And he's going to learn the hard way. He's now seen that, you know, form is temporary, glass is permanent. And it's the other way with those two. But those two have performed above and beyond, you know. And it just goes to show, you know, without Aubameyang, when Aubameyang's not performing, you know, don't get me wrong, he doesn't get the ball. He's not helped, but he's not getting much service.
Yeah.
But when he's not getting the ball, and when he's not, you know, scoring the few chances that he does get, you know, we don't perform. But you have to question the fact as well. Like I said, you know, we turned into David Moyes' Man United of yesteryear. 36 crosses in the why? Where does Aubameyang never struck you as a big, horrible, physical player?
No.
Now, that is down to Arteta.
Yeah.
That is Arteta. Why is Arteta telling our players, put the fucking ball in the box? Because Aubameyang's not that sort of player. Aubameyang's not an Andy Carroll. He's not going to win headers in the air regularly. You know, we don't have a striker in this. If it was Giroud, yeah.
Yeah, we have an inexperience. You say we don't, but we sort of do from, you know, from what I've been reading. There's Muller. Remember Muller, the tall guys from Sweden, I think it's about 6 foot plus, 6 foot five or something ridiculous. The new Ibrahimovic. But he's raw. He's totally raw. And we don't know anything about him, really. But he's played well for, you know, for the, was it the under-23s or whatever. But he's not been, been training with the first team. So I wonder if he's going to get put in. I mean, and surely he wouldn't play him against Spurs. But, I mean, how would Arteta be feeling right now? I feel for Arteta because I think he is the right manager. But he's just inherited some difficult circumstances. You've got, like, guys like Xhaka.
He has been. No, like I said, I'm all for him, and he won't be sacked. Because no manager wants to take over this shit show of a club.
Yeah.
And Arteta needs time. Arteta has ideas. But I think what Arteta needs to do is, you know, speak to, you know, the people that have trained him, speak to Pep, speak to other managers, get some advice. Because every manager goes through this, every manager goes through down times.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are clear issues. This squad. There are clear issues. And I think Arteta has made mistakes. Now, we knew he would make mistakes. We knew it wasn't going to be all three forward. But, you know, this is the time. You know, he needs to sort of you know, work out how we're going to fix this situation. If we could get rid of some of the fucking dross in January to free up some funds, that would be awesome. You know?
Yeah, how is that going to happen? Who's going to want to? Well, Socrates might be. It might be possible to sell him. Ozil seems like an impossibility. It's not obviously. We know he has ability, but it's his wages. And then those two have to go. And then even then, to bring in more foreign players, somebody else has got to go as well. Who would that third player be? Because at the moment,
Well, you don't have to. Because Ozil and Socrates aren't even in the squad. So you can just get rid of one of them. I'd love it if we got rid of either of them. But
yeah,
it's like, what's going on at this club?
No, what I'm saying is, I think I read it on.
We are seriously struggling.
What's I you know, can't remember that.
Even something as small as David Luiz, I have to admit, I wasn't particularly over the moon about him getting a new deal.
Yeah, I know.
I could see the sense. I could see how he's experienced, but yeah, you know, he's another example of get rid. Like if our club offers him a new deal, we're fucking going mad. Yeah, but he got concussed.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he taken off? I don't know if you saw it. And he played the full first half. And then he it's not an issue because you played him, but then he got taken off at half time.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, we're, you know, it feels like we don't know what we're doing or something.
Yeah, perhaps that wasn't a good decision. I mean, from a health perspective, obviously it was a terrible decision. But, I mean, Arteta, I don't know, I'm trying to think what he must have been thinking. Because David Luiz, you know, he's been good of late, you know, in an Arsenal shirt. He's done pretty well, I feel. And he does add experience to that defence. So I would not want him to go off either. But sometimes, I don't know what was said, but whoever ran on the pitch to talk to him. Yeah, I know. But I would say, they're supposed to, like, you know how they test whether you're concussed is how many fingers am I holding up? And if you guess it wrong, they go, right, go off. But he was not concussed. He was not. Yeah, but the problem was, like, Arteta, I think, admitted it. He said he couldn't head the ball because he was in so much pain. He couldn't head the ball. So he weren't concussed and he was feeling groggy. But he wasn't concussed. So, like, from a health perspective, doesn't sound ideal, does it? What with all these players getting Alzheimer's and so on. So yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I've always been, like, when I have been a coach, I've always, if a player's got injured, I've took them straight off, you know, because I've just said, listen. But the thing is, I mostly work with young players, so I'd try and protect him. But he's not a young player, so maybe he's going, let me get my money's worth here. Let him stay on. Let him just... You know, he's just got a certain amount of presence. I totally wouldn't. I see where Arteta's coming from. He's a young manager. He wants old heads in the team. And I know what you're saying. I do see your point of view. Totally see it. But at the same time, I would just feel I want these. Willian, he's going to come good more often than not. And he's not going to want to disappear.
So far, has he,
not really. No, I have to be honest. He hasn't. But I predicted it incorrectly, but then my next question would be, who has come good? It seems like I can't think of any, but well, Leno's had a few good games. Partey's been brilliant, and Gabriel, they're the new arrivals. So, and then of course, then we're talking about the left back from Celtic, Tierney's had a pretty good season, although he got roasted the other day, you know, by the right winger, what's his name, Traore.
Yeah, well, I think that's obviously, it's a convenient excuse for some of our teething problems.
Yeah.
In regards to, you know, we've moved from under a 3-5-2 or whatever we're playing, 3-4-3, to 4-3-3. And I think the back four, you know, we are going to be a bit more defensive for the open.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as well, you know, we're hoping that Willock or someone can fill that 10 role.
Doesn't look likely, does it?
It's not working yet, is
it?
But yeah, we've got a back four now, and I think so. And then when you've got, you know, the very sort of immobile Xhaka, he doesn't offer
anything.
Yeah, he did last year, but yeah.
Yeah, he did at times. I know he had, I don't know what you'd call it, Indian summer, is it? Or was it shorter than that? I'm not sure, but he had a few good games. He wasn't great, but he was quite good, and I thought, yeah, maybe I got it wrong. I thought, and I've always said all along, some of the Wenger signings are far worse than Xhaka. But in this particular Arsenal team, he seems like on a bad day, he's a weak link. And on an average day, he's also a weak link. And most days, he's a weak link. And occasionally, he's quite good. So to me, I would out the guy. Elneny, it's a shame he got COVID. I think that's had a major impact. I'm guessing he'll be okay for the Spurs game. I'm guessing that. So that'll improve things. And as you said, the new signings have been good. And there's been, like, defensively, the team looks a bit more solid. But from an attacking point of view, we look pretty awful, actually. And it's not down to one man. It's down to so many players. And David Luiz, when he's played, has looked all right this season. There hasn't been as many question marks this season as what there were last season. But he's barely played. So that's part of it. And then Willian, as you said, Willian is... he's not really delivered. I can't really defend him. But at the same time, all I will say to you is this. If my neck was on the line, if I was Arteta, if I had to choose between Willian and some of the youngsters, I know a lot of people rate Reece Nelson. I think he's all right. But would I play him ahead of Willian? I'm not sure. Because what has he done really this season? He's done it in Europa League, maybe. But how does Arteta view those performances in the Europa League? Pepe, I would definitely play Pepe over Willian, but you know, he's got a certain amount of experience. I would want quite a few experienced players to get out of this rut that the team are in. Because if you throw in too many young players, you can have one or two, but if you've got loads, like Saka, I'd always play Saka. But I feel like I've lost you there, Alex, so might have to end this. Suddenly you've disappeared. I think you're calling back right now. So let's get you. It's a good job I was ranting then. Can you hear me all right? Maybe you can't hear me. All right, how do I do this? Right, okay. Right. Right, it's coming through the computer now, which is not the most convenient. But yeah, this is what you get when you do stuff live. Right. Right, I'm trying to get Alex back here, but it's not working. Right, I'm trying again. This is what you get when you go live, right? Okay, right. I'm pressing speaker, and it's like a comedy, but no one's laughing. Not even me. I'm only laughing out of embarrassment. Let's see how long I can talk with this background music. Okay, right. If I play it on the computer, if I do this, take this call on the computer, I don't know how that's going to pan out, but let's just see what happens. Okay, right. I've taken it on the computer now. Right, Alex, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate.
All right. I don't know how this is going to come out because you're now coming through the computer, because every time I try to accept your call on the phone, it wasn't letting me do it. So I was in a kind of rant mood though. Rant mode even, so I was ranting luckily, and then I suddenly realized you weren't there. I was going, oh my god, where's he gone? So yeah, I've obviously done these sort of rants every now and then, you know, when I've got a bee in my bonnet. But at the moment I haven't really got a bee in my bonnet, except the results are so upsetting. I just can't, I'm really struggling to deal with it, just like everybody else is. But at the same time, I just feel that, like you've said, Arteta needs time. But then when we think about that team that is inherited, what can you do about it? What I was going to ask you is, we know Xhaka is, you know, the midfielder, the defensive midfielder from Switzerland. We know that he's very popular in the dressing room, because otherwise, why would he have got voted as captain? So bearing that in mind, what would you do with him? How would you, you know, because I don't think it's urgent that he gets out of the club, but he may be one of the reasons why you said the atmosphere seems a little bit toxic. I mean, is it down to him, or is it over?
No, I think certainly if you look at, say, Tierney is someone that wants to be an elite sportsman. I'm not sure if Xhaka, how he acted with Leeds, and when you're siding with, not even your fellow countryman, just a friend over your club mate, it just kind of, it doesn't sit well with me. I don't think he's amazing. I just think he's not elite. We want the best sportsman. I just don't think he is. You know, he doesn't have that elite mindset, that your best players do.
Yeah, there is that. So, but, I mean, bearing in mind,
I think with Ozil, I think the situation has got to a point. Yeah, the players see him every day, and I think it might be one of those that, you know, when the results start going against the club, where the players, you know, turn on Arteta as opposed to Ozil. I don't know, but certainly, I think it's going to be a rough month. Yeah, and we have to remember as well, November, historically, we always, somehow, it seems like our bogey month.
Yeah, there is that.
Even back to the Wenger days, we'd always have stinkers of November. I don't know why. It's obviously a coincidence, but I can't explain what the hell's going on. We've got a big month ahead of us. We've got Chelsea, we've got Spurs, we've got City in the League Cup. Now, I know we'll put the kids out for that, but it's going to be a trying time for Arteta. Yeah. I don't think the club's going to get rid of him. I think it'd be a bad mistake if the club did get rid of him. And who would we get in? I don't think any proper manager worth his salt wants to touch our club with a 10-foot barge pole. So, and I think it'll just add more instability to the club. I don't see it as a working thing. But, certainly some of the decisions need to be rectified. I did see something actually. I can't remember where I saw it. Someone posted it on Twitter, I think. It's complete horseshit, possibly. Sure. But having Wenger come back in. As a director of football.
Jesus Christ!
Just to help guide Edu and Arteta, because clearly, they're not as knowledgeable, as experienced as we hoped. you know, but I have to admit, anyone but Wenger, really. I don't think we need him. I'd rather have someone experienced but, you know, fresh to the club, if that makes sense.
Yeah, somebody experienced, but not with a direct connection with Arsenal necessarily, or somebody that's been out of it for a long time. But Wenger is still, the wounds are too fresh, I feel.
Yeah, for me as well.
And I don't want to see him come back in the near future, at least. If ever, I don't know, because of course he achieved an awful lot in his time, but that time's been and gone. And I was all for Arteta because he's the future. I have to say, though, he wasn't my first choice. I think you know who my first choice was, and he's sitting top of the league at the moment. But people told me I was wrong to want Mourinho. But I was reading, somebody said that Mourinho and Arteta are set up quite similarly. So Arteta's like a young Mourinho. Well, that wording is actually my copyright. Just made it up. But no, I was reading I forget who it was, but some pundit was saying, yeah, Mourinho and Arteta, they set up in a similar sort of manner. But obviously, Mourinho's doing well for now, but we know long-term it's not going to work at Spurs. Probably work for a year, 2 years. And I'm a Mourinho fan, even though I don't like his teams. Because he wins games. I like managers who win games. And I like Arteta because he's just so good from a PR perspective, and not just that, he's won the FA Cup with a team that didn't seem to have a chance. And Arsenal had such a tough run to get to that cup final and to beat Chelsea in the final. I just can't forget it in a hurry, even though I'm so upset about Aston Villa, particularly that game. Leicester I'm upset about, and obviously Wolves. So it seems like a Midlands, you know, what is it? It's like bad match. Black magic going on or something. Black country, black magic. It's frightening.
Yeah, black country magic, yeah.
I really don't like, you know, I can't, I've never really been accustomed to losing to those three teams, like one after the other, it feels like. It's just, I'm struggling with that, really struggling. But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you know, we don't want to have any knee-jerk reaction, although I know a lot of fans are reacting pretty strongly, going, yeah, Ozil's, like you said something about Facebook the other week. You said on Facebook, Ozil's got 1,000,001 fans, you know, and they're all backing him as opposed to Arteta. I'm guessing they're in overdrive now. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I do see a bit of it. I have to admit. And it's moronic. Like, it's just, but these are fans that don't watch the games.
You know, yeah, sure.
That, you know, I think It's a difficult sort of minefield to get into, but yeah, these fans don't sort of. I'm not going to take their opinion too seriously. Like, you know, they'll probably support a different club next week.
A lot of times, there's
certain connections that it's kind of like, well, it makes me question sort of. Is it just football related? You know, like it's
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know. I had a massive argument online with somebody who was a Xhaka supporter, and he was saying you're too harsh on Xhaka, and I said no, I'm not actually that harsh. And this all went off. You know, it weren't like individual messages. He was just sending messages to the website, and then I was replying, and then he was just starting to get really personal. You know, and I thought, wait a second, we're not even talking about football now, or he wasn't. So I just cut him off at that point because I just thought, I don't mind having a footballing debate with anybody at any time, and they can be a little bit insulting, but if they're just going to turn it into just pure insulting me, these keyboard warriors, I've just got no time for it. I mean, if he said, exactly. Like, I'll meet you down the road.
Some of these fans being too. Yeah. Obviously, that's the 21st century, like Twitter is just basically a cesspit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's shocking.
Conspiracy theorists and whatever else. I think Ricky Gervais once said that Twitter is basically the 21st century equivalent of going into a public toilet, smearing shit on a wall, and having that sort of considered as an intellectual opinion, really.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
So it's, you know, you have to take a pitch. So I struggle. I can't think of, apart from say Gabriel and Leno and Partey as well.
Yeah,
there's very few positives. No, just a point. Yeah, you know, off topic slightly.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Maitland-Niles? What's Maitland-Niles doing that's so bad in training? He hasn't got a look in.
Not much. No. He's.
Yeah, are you telling me that you can't have a stab at centre midfield? Are you telling me that Ceballos and Saka are the only options that we have? And I feel for the youth players. I do. Yeah, Maitland-Niles is probably just a youth player. I feel for them. You know, people say, oh, they're not good enough. But they need to be blooded into a successful team.
Yeah, and they need to get opportunities, but to give...
blood them into this shit show of a situation.
Yeah. But when you look at... I mean, I didn't count how many games Maitland-Niles has played for Arsenal, but I think it's got to be near 100, and it's certainly over 50. And I just feel like he's... I'm just not really convinced by Maitland-Niles. I think he's okay. The thing is, with the youngsters, they're all quite good. But to me, they're not for the future. For Arsenal, anyway. I don't think so. I'm sorry to say that. Apart from Bukayo Saka, clearly he's so amazing. I mean, there's no way in the world that he's not good enough. Of course he is. But the others, I'm still not sure about. I had a lot of doubts about Nketiah, as you know, and then he didn't even play against Leeds. I was disappointed he didn't play against Leeds because Nketiah, to me, is improved. I mean, from my perspective, anyway, watching him, he's scored a few goals and he seems dangerous. So I have no idea why he's not been picked. And Willock's had his moments when I thought this guy might make it, and then I go, well, maybe he won't. And I'm the same with Nelson. There's moments when I think, yeah, he might, but I can't help but think they just haven't done enough. And Nketiah, he's the one I'm not too sure about, because I just could not understand why Arteta rated him so much. But then when he played him a few times, I thought, well, yeah, I do understand why he rates him, because he's a predator. But can I rate him over those other players that are not even in the team, like Lacazette? Who is it? Somebody, I think, you're not going to like the name that I bring up, but an ex-Spurs player was saying, what the hell are they doing putting Lacazette on the bench? I think it was Garth Crooks.
Yeah. This is a player that hasn't had the best of seasons, has he?
Yeah, that
he is. He started off, I know he scored his three goals early on. But yeah, he's not setting the light. In fact, we both sort of discussed about him being out of form. And him not offering much, and I can kind of see it. I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. I think it was, you know, if we need to get rid of some of the older dross and put the younger ones in, at least give them a chance. This season's already turning into a bit of a shit show. But here's the funny fact for you, Joe. We're only 4 points off fourth. We're only 4 points away from fourth, despite losing more games than we've won, and despite being one of the least attacking, most blunt teams ever, we are still only 4 points off fourth. So if we could put on a run of games, and it doesn't look likely, I agree, it doesn't look likely, but if we can put on a run of games, who knows? We could straight back in it. Even a win against Spurs on Sunday, which is like wishing for unicorn shit at the minute, but it would certainly transform things. But football is a funny old, to quote the old famous phrase, it's a funny old game. If we win, the glaring issues will still be there. If we beat Spurs, it will certainly be a big PR thing.
I won't be that surprised if Arsenal beat Spurs. Really, it's because the form book says it's not going to happen. I just think they're going to bounce back. That was just so disappointing. So I'm predicting Arsenal will beat Spurs. I mean, I predicted obviously Arsenal will beat Wolves. Got that totally wrong. But I just think I can't even bear to think of Arsenal losing to Spurs. That just doesn't bear thinking about, does it really?
No, it doesn't.
Shouldn't feel so tragic.
Be a very depressing podcast next week.
Oh yeah, if that happens, if the worst of the worst happens. I mean, normally, I think this London Derby just feels so important compared to previous ones. I mean, they always feel important, but this one feels more important. Maybe I say this every year, I don't know, but to me, this one, because of the lack of confidence in the camp, really, that if they lose this one, the Arsenal players, I'm not going to say there wouldn't be any way back, but it would be a massive blow to lose to Spurs. So it doesn't bear thinking about. And I still have belief in this team, even though there are players in the team that played against Wolves I don't believe in. As you know, Xhaka, I'll take him out for starters. Ceballos, not sure about. Bring Elneny back. Partey, I don't know what the situation. Have you heard anything about his fitness?
Yeah, no, he's injured. His injury is worse than first.
Oh, wow.
He won't be back until the new year, by the sound of it.
That's awful. So, yeah, that's terrible news. So, yeah,
that's not ideal, is it?
It's hard to see where the answer is going to come from, you know, unless, I mean, the only thing, bring Elneny back, at least you've got more legs in midfield, because, again, a pundit was saying there aren't any legs in midfield when you've got Xhaka and Ceballos. But then how did Arsenal win the cup with those two in the team? It couldn't have been that bad.
Well, I think Ceballos had the legs in.
At that time.
I agree that. Don't get me wrong, Xhaka's like Titanic, and he's got a turning circle of a cruise liner. But Ceballos did have a bit of legs. Not much. Certainly nowhere near Elneny or Partey sort of level. But he probably wasn't the most mobile, but he did get about a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to see. Hard to see how it's going to go this weekend for the North London Derby. So if you had to make a prediction, let's put you on the spot. Scoreline?
If we got a draw, we might get a draw.
Yeah, part of me is saying that, but then the optimist in me, which still exists now and then, is saying 1-0 to Arsenal because it sounds good. And I feel like Auba might get that goal that people are saying that he won't be able to score again. It's just ridiculous. You can't just change overnight from a world-class player to a player who can't hit a barn door. You know, he's going
to
do it.
Go from getting the most goals in the league or like second most goals in the league to never being able to score again.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. So when he does score, he's going to open the floodgates, as they say. So I'm still optimistic at this stage, but as I said, they have to produce. Don't mean to put the pressure on the guys, but they have to produce in this next game.
It's certainly changing, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're saying 0-0 and I'm saying 1-0, yeah? We're going to settle for that.
Yeah, 0-0.
All right. Okay, right. So we're going to call this See You Next Thursday Club. Maybe I won't
Tuesday.
Type. See you next Yeah, that's the one.
Well,
it begins with T. Yeah. So anyway, at least we've got somebody.
Yeah,
it's Tuesday. See you next Tuesday, club. So I'll play the music and just, I don't know where it's coming out now. Oh, yeah, it's coming out of speakers. That makes a change. But just want to say big shout out to Man Cave Sound, who's entered the live studio. Hopefully you can hear what's been happening. Actually, yeah, this talking of the stuff that's been going on the pitch, this podcast is a bit like that because what we've... we got disconnected, we had everything go wrong, but in the end, we got there, right? So let's hope Arsenal can do the same. Until next time, adios, amigos.